Well, it's good to be here. It's good to be standing in front of Tim Askwith. No, I'm just kidding. It is good to be here. But Portland County Jail went well. Thank you all for praying. God was in the works before I even got there. The captain that I did meet, the man loves those inmates. That man was tearing up over the ones that he has lost to drugs. I mean, he cares about them. He cares about what's going on with them. And he says, bail reform has destroyed a part of our help. And I say, well, how is that? He said, because I can no longer save these people and get them in jail and keep them in here and sober them up. And now they're dying. And that man was almost tearing up when he said that. He says, because I love these people. He goes, I'm not just a typical sheriff. He's not.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
We thank God for a man who has a heart for these people who wants to help him. And so we sat down and we got to talk and share my testimony and such. And he said, you know, I would love to get you in here. He goes, but I want you in here just for more than just religious duties. He said, I'd like to put you in a kind of administrative position where I need your help. He goes, because we don't have anybody. We haven't had anybody here in 2 years. He goes, I'll even let you build a team up to 15 people if necessary. Okay? So you keep that in mind because God is expecting me to find some men that can go in there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what right now. It will take a denying of yourself to be able to do that. You will be tired. You'll be faced with things when you step inside that jail that you may have never faced in your... The spiritual battle alone. Them devils will jump all over you. But I'm telling you, God can use it.
Amen.
God can use it. This may not be your calling, but surely it can be a training for you. It can be a help. And so be in prayer on that. As God moves this, I'll know more in a few weeks. And but God greatly moved in there. I came out of there rejoicing and thanking God for his goodness and his mercy, not because of Dale Morey, but because of Jesus Christ. That's who we need to glorify. We need to glorify Jesus Christ and what he can do in a person's life. And then take that man and leave him the same. How foolish. Take that man and change him. And then send them back to a people. Send them back to a people that need Jesus Christ just like the rest of us. And so you pray for Liberty Behind Bars, and we're very thankful for what God is doing in that. And I don't know if I left anything out, but please pray for me tonight, as Pastor Haynes said, because, you know, I can get excited. I get excited. But tonight I want to be able to just present this. One of my biggest struggles, Stephen, is just to be able to talk. I get excited about the Word of God. I get excited about Jesus Christ. I mean, I literally don't come up here and plan. I'm not somebody who perfects a craft.
Right.
I don't plan on what I'm going to do when I get up here. It just naturally takes over my body.
Right. Yeah.
But I want God to settle me. And when I get in there and that message he's given me, I want to be able to present that in a way that the people who may not understand the type of preaching that I like or enjoy or that I do, I don't want to scare them away. I don't want to take away from the message of Jesus Christ. Because they may not understand how I get. They may not understand the type of preaching that I do. And so pray that God gives me clarity of mind and clarity of speech, settles my heart, settles me down, and that I can be able to go in there and do what God has. Now, I wasn't looking for this. I know some men whispered in the man's ear and said, you know, this person may be good for that. I wasn't looking for this, but you know, I'm not going to refuse the opportunity to get up there and preach the Word of God. I'm just not going to do it.
Right.
I'm not going to do it, Stephen. I don't care. I've had men get me in churches, and I mean good men that come here and visit this church, and I'm not going to put names out there. They got me in churches where that church does not carry a King James Bible. It blew my mind. I said, oh. What are you going to do, Dale? I'm going to preach. I'm going to go preach. Not beat him up. I didn't say a word about the Bible. I've learned that the Holy Ghost of God can do that itself.
That's right.
And I'm going there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going there and preach what that Bible has to say. And it changed their heart and their mind. You know, I got invited back and I didn't think I was going. Two more times after that. And you know what? When I went in there the second and third time, there was a little more people with a different Bible sitting on their lap.
Good.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Just how it is. You got to learn that stuff being out there. That stuff doesn't come natural to us because we want to go out there and pound and beat each other up. And I just learned it doesn't work. Here's what I wanted to say to you, Brother Kyle. Thank God you have a man who understood 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You taught me 5 minutes behind the pulpit. That's what the pastor gives me. Take it.
Mm-hmm.
Last September, I was in Missouri. A pastor said, come up. 5 minutes. Tell me what your testimony is. Give me a little bit about Liberty Behind Bars. I went about 8 minutes. You know, I got a phone call a few days ago with a man who called me up and said, hey, Brother Dale, I love you. I made a friend with a man who said, I love him to death, an older gentleman. He said, Brother Dale, I'm just calling in love. You know I love you. He said, but when a pastor gives you 5 minutes, you keep it at 5 minutes. Uh-huh. I said, sir, thank you for telling me that. I needed to hear that.
Yeah,
I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you giving me that love and you taking the time that God put you put that on your heart for you to call me and tell me that. You're learning a good thing here, buddy. Who knows what God has for you? But I can already see an improvement in your speaking in those 5 minutes.
That's right.
And I ain't even been here. God knows what he's doing. God knows exactly what he's doing. And thank God for the men that he puts in our lives to teach us those things. I thank God for Pastor Hayne because he's been a huge help to Liberty Behind Bars and the knowledge that man has in doing this thing.
That's exactly right.
I'd look at him and go, what is he? And then all of a sudden I get on the road. Oh, he knows. Just when you think you know better than the man of God that God has put in your life, go ahead and sit down because he's got something for you. Well, that wasn't my message, but look, can I share something real quick? This is not even part of my message. I got it written on my paper. I go, no, I'm not going to share it. Yeah, the Lord's back there. It's just pricking my heart. No, I'm not going to say it. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. I'm going to say it, Mark chapter 10. And I just want you to, this may not even have an impact on you. But you know, this is really for the lost person that's sitting in the Black Creek Baptist Church today, and you know who you are. And it just touched my heart. It stirred my heart. And I've read this how many times? You know, we read these Bibles and we go over and over, but man, there just is a time that the Holy Ghost stops you on something and makes you see that, and you go, oh my goodness. And it brought joy to my heart. And I said, my goodness, if every lost person could get a hold of this, I'm not going to preach on the belief part. But I want you to see in Mark chapter 10 here in verse 17, and it's talking about the rich man here who we know, we believe to be Saul, who would later on be the Apostle Paul. And here's a rich young ruler, and look at verse 17, what it says in here. And it says, and when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running, and he kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? How many times have you been to the pulpit, or excuse me, to the altar doing that very thing? What must I do, Lord? What is it going to take? I'm crying out. I've given you everything. That rich young ruler came and bowed at Jesus' feet. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Look at what he says in verse 18. He says, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. This man understood the laws of God. He was religious and lost. Verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. You know, there's things that Jesus Christ is pointing out in your heart even today, and you make an excuse of why you do them. You're making an excuse why you do, why you have the right to feel that way.
Yeah.
Why you have the right to keep that in your heart. Why you have the right to go ahead and keep that wall up towards that person or towards the situation or whatever it is. And I know for a long time, Miss Ashley, for a long time, I would 100% hold why I became so hateful. Well, because that man molested me. It was very hurtful to me when that happened to me. It destroyed a whole lot of my life. But you know what, John Mark? I finally had to turn it over to God and look at it and give it to him and get rid of it. I would have never got saved holding on to that nonsense.
Amen.
Never. You go, my gosh, you know what God made me do, Charity? He made me become willing, of a willing mind and a
Amen.
Willing heart to give that
Praise
up.
Praise God.
You know what happened, brother? He took that from me.
Amen.
He took that from me.
Yes, he did.
He took it from me. You go, what would you do if you seen that man today? I'd preach Jesus Christ to that man and hope that God he gets saved. You're just saying that, am I? You have no clue. I'm not just saying, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you today, there's something in your heart that's making you do the same thing to Jesus now. But let me show you something. It gets better. Look at verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him. Pastor, could you imagine? Jesus Christ is looking at him. He's beholding him, Tim. Could you imagine the Savior, the Creator of all, and he's looking at you, Nate. He's beholding you today as you sit in the Black Creek Baptist Church. He's beholding your face, Charity. Why? Because he hates you? Oh, that's what you think. But look what it says. He's beholding him. Loved him. Not only is he beholding your face and beholding you, but he's loving you. And because he loves you, he's going to go ahead and lead you down the Romans road. He's going to go ahead and make you say a prayer. Can I read what he did, Tim, because he loved him? May I read what God, what Jesus Christ, the one we're supposed to live after. You want to know what he did because he loved somebody? Look what it says in the rest of verse 21. It says, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. He just brought him underneath the laws of God. Why? Because he loved him. He needed to see who he was and what he was in the eyes of God. How do we get a person to do that, Stephen? Through the laws of God. Jesus Christ didn't come down in the flesh to condemn you. He came to save you. But the words he speaks are the words of condemnation. Why? Because they're the laws of God. And he's beholding your face, John Mark, because he loves you. And he wants you, through that book, to be saved. What a wonderful God we have to love us so much that he would continue to show us those things that we refuse to look at.
Yes, sir.
Well, that was that. I don't know about you, but that got me excited when I realized how much God loved me.
Amen.
And how much for all those years of sitting right where Kyle's at for 4 years, lost, condemned, going to hell, knowing it, in tears, begging God, coming up to the altar, snotting all over the place, going, why won't you save me? He said, man, I've already done that. The problem is you. The problem was always with me, Tim. You know what it took? It took for God to bring me underneath the laws. For me to go, oh my goodness, I'm a rebel against the holy God. I understood my rebelliousness against mankind. I always ended up in jail and prisons and mental hospitals and everything else. Why? Because I was a rebel against mankind. But you know what? Nobody ever showed me my rebelliousness against the holy God. That's where the problem lied. When God showed me that, guess what happened? I got saved. Born again, never to be the same. Now look, I got 25 minutes. Look at it. I'm going to share something with you. I believe if more men, we have men here, Pastor Hayne, Pastor John, but I believe if more men in the pulpits across America would share what helps them in their walk, I believe a lot more people can get help. But a lot of us are missing out because people aren't sharing. They're just not sharing. They're going to everything else. Okay? They're going everywhere else on the entire planet and trying to bring it to their people and wonder why their people are floundering. But if a man can stand up and say, look it, this may not be for you, but man, it's brought a lot of victory in my life. And I want to share it with you that you might be able to get some help, that you might be able to get a victory in your life. If you notice, my countenance has changed from last week to this week. Why? Because I went into a thing called a fast. He's not going to teach on fasting. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to teach on fasting, not to beat you up with it, but to show you what God does in that. So yesterday, I had a few days fasting. I ended it yesterday. And Miss Jody, I was on my way to church last night. I said, well, God, I guess I have to wait to see that some answers on this. Because God doesn't always answer instantly. Like we have a genie God. He's just going to answer when we want it. Oh, good. Then why don't you live the way he wants it? He might answer you when you want it. That's a reality. Yesterday, listen to the man of God back there preach. I couldn't make it. I had an appointment. But listen to him preach. Listen to Tim preach. I said, man, it stirred in my heart. I said, my goodness, Lord. Went to the meeting last night. Tim McVeigh got up there. He said he was floundering. I said, son, it tore me a slap out the frame.
Yes, sir.
You know why? I understood at that moment, Stephen, that God had just answered my fast. Amen. Do you know that I was able to go deal with some situations? I was able to deal with God, able to deal with men. Another man that I dealt with today, that God had put those things on my heart, but I would have never seen it had I not fasted. They were too big for me. I wouldn't look at them. I was looking everywhere else. But because I fasted, God answered that prayer. And he showed me what I needed to deal with. You go, well, I'm lost. You can fast and lost. It ain't going to hurt you. There's proven medical benefits to fasting. You just need to clear it with your doctor what's safe for you if you're on any kind of medicines. Okay? I always tell people that. Don't go tell your doctor, I told you to go and fast and give up. Oh, no, don't do that to me. You check with your doctor what's a safe fast for you, because you can fast more than just food.
Amen.
Time, money, your thoughts. You name it. Fasting is a personal dealing with you and God. Fasting is a willingness to deny yourself to get God's attention on whatever's going on. Some examples of that fasting is Moses fasted before receiving the commandments, Deuteronomy chapter 9. David was mourning his child's illness, so he was fasting in 2 Samuel 12. Ezra fasted while mourning over sin in Ezra chapter 10. Esther fasted for the safety of the Jews in Esther chapter 4. King Darius fasted for the safety of Daniel when he was in the lion's den, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel fasted for the answer to prayer in Daniel chapter 10. Church elders in Antioch fasted before sending men out in Acts chapter 13. And by the way, Jesus Christ fasted before the temptation in Matthew chapter 4. So if Jesus Christ fasted, what makes you think we shouldn't? You go, man, you hit on this a lot because I want to help you.
Yes.
I'm trying to show you when you're coming to a deadlock between you and God, the answer could be in a fast for you. A key victory could come in that fast, and God could answer that. God could give you the strength through it. Look at the first 24 hours are absolutely miserable. Man, when those hunger pains hit, you know what I tell God to remind me of? Those starving kids that are out there. Because I'll be eating again, they won't. And that hurts, man. When that hunger pains come, it hurts when you're used to eating. It hurts. But what is that affliction compared to what Jesus Christ has done for me? What is it that a little light affliction that I can do in fasting to try to get God's attention? What is that compared to what he's done for us? And God, and his mercy, Jesus Christ teaches us a very profound lesson in Matthew 17, verse 21. He says, howbeit this kind goeth out not out but by prayer and fasting. You notice he said this kind? My friends, can I give you a little hint here? There's going to be spiritual things and physical things you face that you'll never be able to handle. You'll need more than just prayer. There are spiritual things in your life, believer or unbeliever, that are going to come up in your life that you're not going to handle with just prayer. But to get people to see that and understand that when Jesus Christ said this kind, prayer and fasting, throughout your entire Bible, people are fasting when they want to get a hold of God. When they want to get a hold of God, they're denying themselves. They're denying their flesh, and they're willing to go ahead and do whatever it takes to get a hold of God's ear. And I've had people tell me this: I hate when I have to fast. It makes me angry. Good, then you need to fast more. Let it make you angry. It's because you're giving up yourself. People hate denying theirself. And fasting will make you deny yourself. But how serious is what you're going through? I know I had somebody going through some issues with me, and I said, we'll pray together for the week. I'm out of mine. I asked them if they were out of their problems, and they said no. I said, you know what the difference is? I fasted. You didn't. It was serious to me. It meant something to me where I was at. I didn't like where I was at. And I knew that my praying and my Bible reading and my church attendance just wasn't doing it for me. I was going to meetings and everything else. So that meant I had to go and do something else. That means I had to deny myself and get a hold of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to give it all up, and I'm going to just drink water, and I'm going to drink liquids. That is it until you get a hold of me. I need to get a hold of you, Lord. I can't live like this any longer. Tim McVeigh preached on what's the best way. You hear people that are lost? Help! Fasting is yelling to God, help! God, I need help! You don't think he wants to help you? The problem is you don't believe it'll work. I have people tell me all the time, well, I've done that before and it never worked for me. No, it's your unbelief that carried you through that, nothing else. And then what are you looking for? Your prayers to be answered your way all the time? Well, God, that's not the God of the Bible, my friends. God answers prayers according to his will.
Amen.
Not according to your will. If it was about you and your will, then you wouldn't even need God. You can go ahead and just keep running your own life.
That's good.
When do we get to the part, I wonder, when do we get to the part that we needed Jesus Christ? And we still need him to walk us through this life.
Amen.
When have we lost that?
Yeah.
Well, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 tells us that we're in a spiritual battle. Look, I don't care how good a person you can fight. Physically, you can throw knuckles. Physically, you can fight something. Physically, fighting used to be fun to me. I love to physically fight. I love to get into altercation. It was something that was fun to me, something that I enjoyed. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what I like to do. But you know what I can't do, Charity? I cannot ever win a spiritual battle in the physical. All those things that I learn out there on the street fighting will never help me in the spiritual battle. It's going to take a spiritual weapon. Tells us to fast. When you're going through something that you just can't handle, it tells us to fast. This is our weapon. Oh, we love the King James. We love, you know, he says you have to do what's in it. Anyway, look, I'm going to close this up here in a minute. What's some reasons why we should fast? And then I'm going to give a couple of verses. Some reasons why we should fast in 2 Chronicles. Reasons why we should fast is for fear. Anybody not in any fear of any kind? Are you facing everything perfectly because you're just that holy and you can just do it like that? There's been some terrible fears in my life as a Christian. That's a call for a fast. Let me show you. You can just listen because I want to get through these. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. In fear, he sought the Lord, not walked away. Didn't fold up his Bible and quit going to church.
That's good.
When people get discouraged or in their fear, you ever notice the very first thing that a person wants to do is quit church or quit reading their Bible when something comes up because it's always God's fault?
Yeah.
And you expect God to just come down here and just be a hunky-dory with you the way you treat him. You treat him like a human being, and he's going to treat you any way he wants to treat you then. God is not a human being. We cannot treat him that way. He's God. He's holy. He's righteous.
Amen.
Come on.
Treat him any way we want. I hear people talking to God sometimes, and they're like, my goodness. Not a wonder you're in the position you're in. And look what it says, and it says he sought God, and he proclaimed a fast. throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask of help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah. Why? They came to seek the Lord. And what did they do? They said, we're going to fast to get a hold of God. Not only are we going to seek God, but we're going to fast because we want to get a hold of Him. When do we come to a point in our life where we go, you know what, I need to stop playing games and really get a hold of God? Let me just say, if you really think you're trying to get a hold of God, take another look, because you're probably not. That's your pride telling you you are. My goodness, I remember when God popped my bubble over me being diligent. When He showed me I wasn't being diligent, any kind of seeking whatsoever for the Lord, it tore me out the frame. But you know what I didn't want to do, Tim? Look at it. As human beings, we don't want to look at things we perceive to hurt us. Why is that? Because we take God and we equate Him to a human being. We think God is trying to hurt us just like those human beings do. And He's not. He's doing it out of a perfect love.
It's good.
People do it because they're bitter, they're hateful, they're angry. God does it in a mercy and love.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you need to look at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. First Peter 5:7 says, casting some of your care.
Mm-hmm.
That's what some are, you know what most are? We're gonna cast those things that we think we can't handle to God, but we'll keep the rest for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what He says. Casting all your care. Why? Because He careth for you. You know, and it's not just a one-time care. Could you imagine if God only cared for you one time and it was over with? It's just careth. That means it's a care that continues to happen. But do you believe that? In your fear, when fears come up upon your life, when you're facing something, a challenge or a decision, we pray for Maurice, I think his name was. He's got a fearful thing that he has to face. He's facing something that's going to affect the rest of his life. Are you going to cast it all to Jesus Christ? Are you going to go to Him? What to God, people would start getting a hold of God again before they make decisions. That's one thing me and my wife has learned very quickly in our young Christian age, is to get a hold of God for decisions in your life. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter what it is. We should go to God and ask Him, is this right? Look at, you know why? Because we get confused. Just because something looks good and it looks right does not mean it's from God.
That's right.
I've been challenged with that more in the ministry. Coming from where I've come from, the devil uses those things to try to get me away from what God wants. And you better be careful, because he'll do the same to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I know that? Because he tempted Jesus.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
All right, let me get through this. Look, another reason why we should fast, to show God that we're serious about what's going on in our lives. Ezra 8:21 says, then I proclaimed the fast there at the river of Havaya. Why is he claiming the fast? He says, that we might afflict ourselves. How do you like to hear that word, afflicting yourself for fasting? You hate it, right? I don't want to afflict myself. Then you know what? Then you're just not serious enough to get a hold of God. He afflicted himself for you on the cross. But you won't afflict yourself to try to get a hold of Him for whatever's going on in your life. Here, they had something. He said, we're serious, God. We want to be serious about this thing. He said, you know what I did when we became serious? I called a fast, and we afflicted ourselves. We made it hurt. They proclaimed the fast at the river Avaya, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. Why? To seek Him. Why are we going to seek Him? You ready? A right way for us. Which way is right for us? Which way should we go? Hey, men, let me ask you. When's the last time you prayed for direction in your family? Wouldn't that be a good time to pull a fast? I got something going on. A decision that I believe I have the answer. But, Pastor, I just couldn't get it. I said, Lord, I'm going to go in a fast on this, and I want you to help me with that answer. And I believe He's given me the answer. I'm just going to make sure now. Because it's a big decision. But I'm pretty sure that God has given me that answer. But let me tell you something. You know what it took for me? To afflict myself, to say, God, I don't know this. And here it says they fasted to seek God a right way for them. They want to know which way was the right way for his family, for him, where he was supposed to go, what direction he was supposed to go in, what decisions were they supposed to make. And then it goes on to say this, and for our little ones. And for our little ones. There's a bunch of little ones coming in this world. Don't you think they're worth fasting for?
Come on.
That's a reality. Fasting for your child that, you know what, they would escape the pollutions of this world and get saved at a young age where they don't have to go through all that stuff that you may have been through, that you may have experienced. Or how about a young man and young women, young ladies, are you praying and fasting for children that you might have someday? You go, that's outlandish, is it? Is it to get a hold of God now for what your future might be? Is that what you really think? It's a joke. This whole Christian thing seems like it's a big game to people. And God is not a game. It's not just some religious experience that we live.
Amen.
It's a life. It's a good life.
Amen.
Man, is it a good life. Stephen, when you walked in this morning, I was about to do backflips. Man, I was, woo! I said, man, the sun is shining this morning. God has been good, man. He brought joy back into my life. He brought peace back into my life. And you know how it came? It came through a fast. Because I was tired of being where I was at. Look what it says here. And for all of our substance. You see, he fasted. Because what direction he was supposed to go in, his family and all that he had meant something to him. And because it meant something to him, guess who he brought it to? God. God. He brought it to God where? In a fast. 8:23 says this. So we fasted and besought our God on this, and he was entreated of us. They fasted, and they besought God. They put every effort they could into getting a hold of God and say, God, what is your heart? What is your will for my life? What do you want for me, my children, and everything that we have? Because I don't care who you are and where you sit, whether you're a saved person or a lost person, God gave you everything you have.
Right.
Because just in the very second you think that you earn everything that you have, God can take it from you.
Mm-hmm.
We come and we live like we have done it all. It's a terrible place to be. God has given you the ability to do whatever it is he has, whether it be work or out there being an evangelist or out there being a pastor. Whatever it is that God has given you that ability to get those things that you have. We ought to be thankful, and I'm almost done here. We should fast for Israel. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 talks about him fasting. And he says at the end here, he says he's fasting day and night for the children of Israel. Do you have lost loved ones? Do you have lost friends? Do you have lost people at work? Shouldn't you fast for them that they might get saved? Or they're not that important?
Yeah.
You know how I know it's not that important? Because you won't even fast for your own self.
Amen.
What makes me think that you're going to fast for somebody else? But over and over again, you'll see where they pulled fast for Israel. Why? They're worried. Do you know that God loves the Jewish people? How many in here have fasted for Israel? That's one of my biggest things on the top of my list when I fast is I fast for Israel.
None.
Why? It's God's people. Have we lost that too? Have we lost where we've come from? What God has told us, what he's taught us, that those are still his people, and that he wants them saved just like everybody else. And if you have lost loved ones in your family, God wants them saved. But I'm going to tell you right now, if it's not happening, maybe you ought to fast. After 11 years, 10 years, or whatever, me and my wife have been begging God for our family to get saved. And I mean begging God, pulling fast. I mean everything. And we're finally starting to see fruit of that. But what if we didn't stay strong in it, Amy? Do you know my brother Dan and Karen are getting ready to go to church?
Mm.
In a church that I went and visited. And I approve of them going in there.
Good.
And they're starting to go back to church. You know why, Tim? Because I wasn't afraid to fast for them. I want them saved. I want them born again, sitting in the house of God. It meant something to me, John Mark. And so I fast for them. God answered that prayer. And in 10 years is just starting. What are you willing to give up? fast to be used of God, and I can't go through it. Isaiah chapter 58 explained, God shows them the difference between their religious fasting and the fasting that accomplishes things through God's will. You know, just like begrudgingly giving money, don't begrudgingly go into fasting because it means nothing to God. You better prepare your heart. You go, do you prepare your heart? Yes, I do. I pray and ask God to search me. Show me anything that should not be there. Number two, I start singing hymns and songs a few days before I go into my fast. While I'm trying to prepare my heart. You go, oh my goodness, don't you take that too far? Oh no, it's a serious matter to me. Sorry it ain't that for you. Maybe if you tried it, maybe it will become that for you. And just maybe some things might change in your life. Now, fasting's not for everybody, because not everybody is serious about their Christian walk. Doesn't make me any better than you. It doesn't mean God answers more prayers of mine than he might yours. It just means, you know what it means? It means I have a heart for things that are on my heart, and I want to bring them to my God at any cost. We should fast because we have turned away from God and turned to sins. We should fast when we're being wronged by others. You know, you go ahead and we've been with Brother McVeigh, we've been going in the book of Psalms. You know, Psalms chapter 35 says this, when they rewarded me evil for good and for the spoiling of my soul, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was in sackcloth. He's talking about his enemies. When his enemies were sick, he took off his clothes and he was sick with them. Why? He loved them. And look what he says. He says, I humbled my soul with fasting. And my prayer returned to my own bosom. I behaved myself as though we had been friends or a brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. And he's doing that for his enemies. Have you fasted for your enemies? David just told us what he did to his enemies. He fasted for them. Because he didn't want to be their enemy anymore. But you know what? Your enemy may never stop that. It may take your part on stopping that. And I'm done. I'm reading two more things. We should fast for our pastors and evangelists, Sunday school teachers, our servants of the church, and our missionaries. Acts chapter 13, 2 and 3 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. In verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. How about it, my friends? When's the last time you prayed for our pastor and fasted for him? Mm-hmm. We all love Tim McVeigh. When's the last time you fasted for him and what he might be going through? And I'm going to tell you right now, he's going through some things. You pull a fast for him? Oh, you love him so much though, right? When's the last time Mrs. Hayne and Pastor Hayne, when's the last time you fasted for them? You don't think they need that? Because we're too selfish. Too much thinking about us. Too much thinking about our comfort. And how it's going to feel. That's what we're worried about. Worried about how it's going to feel. Young men can go out there and put thousands of pounds of weight on them. And they're worried about fasting. That makes sense. You can go out there and work all the hard jobs in the world. Lift everything on the planet. Drive for thousands and thousands of miles. Whatever you do. But fasting's going to hurt you. That just shows you how much you're in the way. Why don't you move yourself out of the way? Deny yourself and ask God, what should I fast for? Who should I fast for? And if you can't come up with anything else, do it for your family. I'm done, Pastor Hayne. Heads bowed. No one looking around, please.